Welcome to the CEN Show, the platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani. And on the panel this evening, we got Professor Amin Ra, we got Brother Ahi, we got Brother Iration, we got Brother Hembrick, Brother Mashinda, and our guest for this evening is Brother Muko. And let me say a few words before we get started. This evening, the title of the show is Honoring the Works of Neely Fuller Jr. And Neely Fuller Jr. probably had his last show on the Counter Racist Code show in November. He was 95 years old. And then he passed on, joining the ancestors on February 1st, 2025. So Neely Fuller is a person that I listened to on a consistent basis since 2010. And this is how I encountered Brother Muko. Brother Muko was a regular visitor on the show, and he would always come on the show and talk about the care unit, which is a term that Neely Fuller coined. And I didn't actually know specifically what he meant by the care unit as far as where the care unit was. I thought he was talking about his immediate family. And so I was like, this brother comes on and he's speaking about the care unit, and he's also seemed to be very articulate and knowledgeable about the subject matter. So I said, this is a young fella. I don't know how old he was, but I said I could get him on my show and we could talk about, some things. So I contacted Mr. Bobby, the co-host of the Counter Racist Code show, and he put me in line with Brother Muko. So Brother Muko is one of our team members. When we hooked up, we hit it off like brothers. I'm talking about real brothers. We stay on the phone for hours talking about, the subject matter at hand. So what we're doing this evening, Brother Muko is going to start us off in talking about the works of Neely Fuller Jr. So welcome, Brother Muko, back on the show. Good to s hear you, because I can't see you, but
Thank you, thank you.
good to see that you're here. So let's go, Brother Muko, do your thing.
Oh man, I appreciate you, Brother Rafiki. And just like always, thank you for the fabulous introduction. I will say this. I remember Mr. Bobby, which is the host of the Neely Fuller, the Counter Racist Code show co-host. I came across Neely Fuller Jr. from my mother's eldest brother, who was my uncle. And I remember reading Neely Fuller's United Independent Compensatory Code Concept 1984 edition code book and reading it. My first thoughts was, is this guy maybe dyslexic or something like that, because the book was so repetitive. And it wasn't until I got to listen to him lecture, I heard Dr. Francis Cress Wells, in which my same uncle put me on to, but when I heard Mr. Neely Fuller first lecture, and I think it was on the COWS program, which is an acronym short for Concept of White Supremacy. I was listening to this program because the way I even stumbled upon it, they were talking to Dr. What's his name? Dr. Kevorkian, and they were rating a movie, and they were rating it, but they were talking about the white supremacy points in the movies, and I never heard anything like this. So when I listened to that, the program went on, and there you go, Neely Fuller was on the next program. And so I heard him and I was like, wow, I wanted to hear this guy live because, I really thought that he had passed when I first heard him. Fortunately, he was still alive. And I think one of the listeners from the Cows informed me about Talktainment Radio and started listening to Neely Fuller Jr. on the radio. At that time, he wasn't with Mr. Bobby, so to speak. So I was listening to him for years. So to fast forward and getting to using the codified word language of K-Unit, Neely Fuller Jr. made it very crystal clear to me the difference between a family, an attempted family, and a care unit. And so I just used my logic and, just according to the evidence, I could see Neely Fuller Jr.'s point of victims of racism, white supremacy can no way in any shape or form have what's called a family. And he said, and when I looked at this and he made the point of, what is a family? A family is is supposed to be a group of individuals that protect and provide resources. And our families don't do that. I know my family only can do that to a certain extent. I know they cannot protect me in this system of racism, white supremacy. And so I just begin to be a fan of codified thinking, which I already was, but I just was so excited to see individual like Neely Fuller Jr. and groups of individuals like Rashiki and other brothers, like the brother I read, the actual brother that I met, the first brother I met on the show, which his name was Brother Rizel. Brother Rael, he actually used to make a statement, and he said, and I'll repeat it verbatim, he said, well, thank you for letting me speak on this. I'm in Baltimore, and I'm just saying for anybody that's in Baltimore that may be listening, I'm going to be out in the park by myself, reading my code book. And if anybody wants to come out there and have a compensatory, constructive action conversation, then I'll be at the park. And he gave the address. And I was so shocked to hear a person from Baltimore saying, I'm gonna be at St. Lo Drive by myself. Anybody in Baltimore want to come? So that's how I actually started the first care unit, which me and Brother Rael, we started it together, Brother Rashiki. And we met in the park that day. From that day, we both had our code books. Me and him, it turned into about six people, six other black male victims of racism, white supremacy. And then I proceeded to bring my sons and my daughters out to St. Lo Park, St. Lo Drive, every other Saturday or every Saturday that we would have it. And we would spend an hour or two discussing countering racism, white supremacy, discussing or clearing up or trying to get a better understanding of what this system is and how it works, and exercise Neely Fuller's suggestions in countering it. So when Brother Rashiki came along and Mr. Bobby, I'd already been listening to Neely Fuller previous to Mr. Bobby getting on the air. And I'm gonna just say, well, I could say it now because I would even say it if Mr. Bobby was here. I remember when I first heard Mr. Bobby, I didn't like Mr. Bobby and the way that he hosted. And so he kind of grew on me, and now, I love the brother. He's one of my closest brothers, and I appreciate Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller for all of the work that they have done, for the work that Mr. Bobby is still continuing to do, and honoring a person like Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And not well, honoring his work, just as the title says. So yeah, Mr. Bobby is definitely responsible for linking me and Brother Rashiki up. He called me and he asked me if this, hey, I had a brother that was interested in the K unit and he wanted to ask you questions. And just like Brother Rashiki said, since then it's been, we talk all the time. Well, not all the time, but when we talk, boy, a phone conversation, just like Brother Rashiki said, 2, 3 hours. And so this is my brother. I'm so glad that we have connected through this channel. And just like I tell him all the time, this is till death do us part. Neely Fuller Jr. is definitely one of my one of the greatest examples of standing by his work that I've ever seen in my life, in my entire life. Well, up until this point, I like to think that I could be so codified, but just like Neely Fuller, I always rate myself on a scale of 1 to 10, no higher than a 2. 2.5, I'm feeling good. So with that being said, yeah, Neely Fuller has definitely deposited in my psyche the importance of words, the importance of words, and how to use them effectively to attempt to counter racism, white supremacy, and dismantle the system of racism, white supremacy, and replace it with a system of justice. So, I know that was a long, drawn out, detailed version of how me and Brother Rashiki met, but yeah, it was through the suggestions and the work of I think one of the greatest counter-racist scientists that has done it, Neely Fuller Jr. And this is how we connect, and Mr. Bobby, and this is how we connected. And I would say that that is what he's contributed and deposited into my life as far as being codified with the words that I use, and my always, as a victim of racism, white supremacy, stay focused on upgrading my thought, my speech, and my action, as well as all of us should, because the one thing that he the many terms that he's coined, this one term, I mean, this one statement that he coined, I mean, perfectly is, if you don't know what racism, white supremacy is and how it works, everything else that you know will only confuse you. And I've seen the evidence of it over and over and over and over again. So for anyone and many that will listen to the recording, it's not because of Neely Fuller that I trust any of his suggestions or work. It's only because the evidence shows it to be true. And I'm Nelly Fuller Jr. has helped me to be a stickler on finding out the truth, knowing the truth. And I think that was, I think I answered, I hope I answered that question in detail and really deep. If you wanna ask anything else, I did have a clip that I wanted to play of Nelly Fuller Jr. If I know you had a clip that you wanted to play and I wanted to discuss as well,
Well,
but
you know what? I wasn't even thinking about the clip. And plus we have enough people here where we could get input from them. And what I want to do now, Brother Muko, is go around the panel to ask them about their connection to Neely Fuller or their, anything that he provided, kind of touch them in some type of way. So we'll go there and then we'll come back, Brother Muko, because I have a question for you. And I want to go through the panel. So Professor Ron, I want to go to you. Is there anything about Neely Fuller you want to bring to the light? And then also you can make a comment. And then if you have a question, we'll come back to Brother Muko for questions.
About getting everybody online. First of all, I wanted to say, give praise and thanks to Neely Fuller for all the work he's done to provide a blueprint for people to study racism in his book, The Independent Compensatory System of Codes, that he wrote. And I think that he has risen in radiance, as we say in Coweta, to be counted among the ancestors, and that he sits at the table of the righteous and the good, and that he will be a glorious spirit in heaven and always maintain a powerful presence on earth, and that his knowledge, his wisdom that he dedicated to us to help us understand racism will resonate forever. The second thing is that, he became prominent because Dr. Frances Crisp Wilson said that he's the one that gave her the concept that racism was a global dynamic and that it was about European genetic recession and genetic inferiority. And that's how he became really known, because she would say that in all her lectures, give him credit. We open her eyes, she said she was washing dishes one day and she was trying to figure out why it was so quiet and people were watching ball games, and then she came back and said that she had talked to Neely. I don't know if he's out in her yard or doing something, and he told he told her racism was a global dynamic about genetic resuscitation of Europeans and genetic dominance of Black people. And that's what got her inspired to get into her concepts of racism. But she always gave him credit. That's two. The third thing is that most people do not study racism until they react to it by being a victim. What Neely Fuller did was try to provide a proactive understanding of how racism evolves into every aspect of life. And I think Frances Crisp Wilson used to talk about the various, sports, entertainment, education, and in all parts of social and human life. And he took it to another level by developing a book that would help people understand how to counter racism mentally and become more astute to the reality and the powerful and the environmental hazards of racism that affects our daily lives. And that's three. And so four, and then he dedicated his life. He He went, like you said, he spoke, he talked, and he tried to educate people. Even though he was in the service and served two tours somewhere, and then he also was a person that re really was up against COINTELPRO, was up against the dominant society. And this is why many professors, I met him at Eswan Bookstore. He came there when he first wrote his book. If I'm not mistaken, I think he signed my book. And he was very, very astute. But see, it was very difficult. See, Black studies and Black studies teachers, many of them did not have classes in racism, most Black studies department. They had classes in different subject matters that racism was involved in, but just racism and what race is all about, going back to J. Rogers and all of that. But Neely was a deep thinker. A deep thinker, and he did a lot of good and opened a lot of people's eyes who listened to him. But it takes time because, for a lot of reasons. One, the dominant society that is over the mass media. Second, many of the Negro teachers and Negro professors did not want to discuss racism on predominantly white campuses if they were teaching. And even the 100 Black colleges did not have classes on racism. Neely Fuller, through his radio program, and Mr. Bobby provided a class on racism through the mass media, which was the fifth thing I think he was about. So I will always honor his work. You got to get back into the core. At the time he wrote it, I was reading some of it, but I haven't read it since, and I can't find my book to refresh my memory on what was the blueprint that he had put out. But at the same time, his work will always go down in heaven. I mean, down in our minds and those that are conscious. It's one of the greatest works out, that book that he put out, because it provided a literary aspect of understanding racism with facts and analysis that from a very deep thinker.
Appreciate it, Professor Ra. I'm gonna go to Brother Iration, because Brother Iration was the one that introduced me to Neely Fuller back in about 2009-10. So, Brother Iration, you have anything to say about Brother Neely Fuller?
Yeah, man, he was a great. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. He was a great scholar, man, and he didn't pull no punches, and he told it just like it was. He brought it, uncut, and don't get any better than that, man. I used to follow him on Harambe Radio. He had his own podcast, and just another great scholar down the line, man, trying to help wake the people up and let us know what's going on here in Babylon. All right. So that's
Yes,
pretty
sir.
much it for me. But yeah, I love the man, man. Yes.
Okay, appreciate that, Brother Iration. All right, Brother
All right.
Ahi. Brother Ahi.
Yes. I've heard Brother Fuller speak, and on a couple of interviews, and I never really delved into any of his literature, or really became engaged in it. Much for the same reason that Brother Muko was saying earlier, repetitive. He reiterates, and I just kind of felt that I had the basic message that he was relaying about racism. And but from listening to you brothers today, And I did get a chance to listen to Frances Cress Wilson earlier in the week about how influential he is to her, as Professor said. I'm going to have to take some time to kind of look at, to not kind of, but to look at his information a little bit deeper. So that's where I'm at.
Brother Ahim, I'll tell you
Yes.
what. Along with reading the book, if you want to get the book, he has a lot of information on online as far as the videos he did. And I used to enjoy them thoroughly. I mean, his style is kind of a little dry, people would say, but he can be very comical, and it's a lot that you can draw from him. Trust me when I say that, because I read the book and I was like, okay. But when I was listening to those videos, especially when I first heard about him, it's some great information. I could say that. And I think you would agree with me. But I appreciate that, Brother Ahim.
Well, if you say it, brother, I know it's definitely worthwhile
Okay.
to look into. And I
All right,
will.
brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
Thank
Yes,
you.
sir. Mm-hmm.
Brother Hendrick.
Yes, sir. Evening, everybody. Give an honor to the brother. I know I have his book somewhere. I haven't read it in its entirety, but I'm well versed with Francis. I've been on Earth for 40 years. And what I've heard of him, in terms of what he talks about and what he wrote about, what I gathered from it basically was when we gathering up talking and we ain't talking about defeating white supremacy, shut your mouth because you ain't talking about nothing. That's what I got basically from him, which is great. I also want to mention this other book that kind of deals with it to a degree, that book Cast with Isabel Wilkerson. You had that on the show a little while back. I just finished reading that, and it goes kind of like international with the caste system, not calling it racism, but calling it caste system. But anyway, I just want to say this to the public. If we don't know about it, we better wake up to it because it's front and center right now, and they ain't playing. And you better wake up to what's happening. Anyway, that's about it. I will try to locate his book and finish reading it. I know I have it here somewhere. That's all.
All right, thanks, Brother Henry. All right, Brother Mashenda.
Yo, good evening, everybody. I heard of when I first heard of D.D. Fuller, that was in the 90s, and it was like I say, by way of Frances Cress Wellesley, part of my ascension. I've been trying to develop my understanding on things for many, many years. And when I was, studying, I used to have cassettes. When they had cassettes, I used to listen to multiple cassettes on Francis, when, talking about the different fronts that, we're being attacked on. Of course, Professor Rob pointed them out, like economics, education, labor, politics, entertainment, law, religion, sex, war, all those things. I found it fascinating how she put that together. And then when, of course, her mentor, one of her mentors being Neely Fuller, strong had a strong influence on Dr. Wellesley. I knew about her a whole lot before I even heard of Neely Fuller, but he came into my scope as I studied the psychiatrist, Frances Wellesley. And this was back in the 90s. And moving forward, Brother Rasa Key, he I noticed that he would listen to Neely Fuller on a regular basis, later on in life. Here it is, he's bringing up Neely Fuller. And I said, yeah, I'm familiar with that brother, and some, and then when, of course, reflecting back, and then, but I always looked at Neely as somebody very practical, very logical. His answers were very simple, It's like, if you touch, if you put your hand in fire, you're going to get burned, Something very profound, very simple, like, hey, you touch fire, you'll get burned. And that was how Neely Fuller was to me. His answers were very he was able to reach people on from a communication standpoint on different levels at the, from like the lowest common denominator. So, he was very simple in his delivery, and at the same time very powerful. And very, just one of those guys that was very consistent. And so, like I say, Brother Russell Key was a huge, I won't call him a fan, but he was a huge listener to the Blog Talk Radio. And I was not familiar with the Blog Talk Radio. I mean, I'm all over the place. There's all kind of platforms and media outlets and things like that. And Brother Russell Key put me on it. He said, "Hey, man, they have the Neely Fuller show, every week." And I speak on, he was, Brother Russell Key would speak, try to get into the lineup and speak and ask questions and things like that. So I tuned in on a regular basis on Blog Talk Radio, and his famous quote, if you don't understand white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else you understand will only confuse you. And I've thought about that more and more and more. And it's, because I try to be, I try to go in, try to be a deeper thinker, and it makes so much sense, to me. And so I like to thank Russell Key for putting me on point on that Blog Talk Radio on that particular station that Neely was performing, not performing, but actually bringing that news and that science every week. And of course, Mr. Bobby was on there, and I'm kind of like Brother Muko, like, who is this guy? But I told Mr. Bobby, I think I told him when he came on to the CEN show, that how's consistent and professional that he is. He was more or less, that's who he was as an MC, as a person, as the host on the show, co-host to, that was his character, or who he is, and so forth. Not trying to be anybody but himself, and I respect that, and so therefore, Blog Talk Radio shut down on January 31st. That was the last time it went out. It shut down that particular station, and as far as Neely Fuller went. And I thought that was that was very, on more levels than one. Brother Russell Key, January 31st, that kind of, I was like, wow, that's when it closed down. So much respect. Learned a lot, and I'm still, as he said, I'm still learning, and that's the name of the game. We're still learning. That's Brother Neely Fuller, and that's all I have to say.
Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate it. Now, I don't know if you remember Professor Ron, but we were talking about, you asked me where was this brother. And I said, and if you remember, I said, oh, that's Brother Damien McCallman, and we talked about him a little bit, and I said I was gonna contact him soon. But he's here this evening. So we dialed you up, Brother Damien. We dialed you up. Welcome, Jen J. So Brother Damien, you want on mute?
Give me 1 second. Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. You want me to come back to you?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, but man, welcome, man. It's good to hear your voice, man. I was gonna call you soon. So I was gonna call you soon, brother. So I'm glad you're here. So you very familiar with Neely Fuller Jr.?
You know what? No. So as I logged in, I went on his website right now, just to get familiar with them and copy and paste some of his quotes. So just looking at his website now, I've subscribed to his YouTube channel just to learn a little bit more because he sounds like somebody that I need to know.
Very extraordinary person, I would say. Very extraordinary.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see you here, brother. If you have any questions later, I'll come back to you.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, brother Amari Baraki.
Bakari.
Bakari. I know him as a government name, but welcome, brother.
Thank
Welcome.
you. How's everybody doing this evening?
Black,
Good,
black,
good.
man. Black, black,
Yeah,
black.
black man. Yeah. So
I'm just here to feed my spirit, brother. I guess I became familiar with Neely Fuller back in the 90s. I'm very familiar with Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, of course. She was a professor at Howard while I was there, but before I got there, I was exposed to the Cress theory. And I don't know if you remember Victor and Randall, but Victor went to Morehouse and he came back and turned everybody on to Dr. Cress Welsing, Gil Scott-Heron. Morehouse fed him up with a whole bunch of ideological perspectives that we weren't familiar with in our neighborhood. But the whole issue of us combating or dealing or living in a society with white supremacy has always been a challenge, and anybody that has addressed that has always been feeding my spirit because we've lived here in an uncomfortable space and uncomfortable times, and no matter all the battles and fights that we've gone through, white supremacy is still our number one enemy, and I guess most of us are getting a good taste of it currently with this current administration and the things that the people that voted this administration in office is vouch. Validates whatever white supremacy meant, and we're dealing with that. Neely Fuller has a very full you. There's a lot of information on him on YouTube that you can watch. There's a brother who has actually done a series of animated cartoons of some of his speeches and lectures that can be found on YouTube. And I watched several of those, and of course, they all have spoke to my spirit. And I gotta say, I try to get to this podcast as often as I can. I enjoy seeing you and Professor Raw, and the subjects you guys entertain during your podcast. You guys are real consistent with this. You're giving out a lot of good information. And last night, I was kind of blown away at. I felt like I missed out on something by not going to Long Beach State.
Yeah, man, that was one of the realest beat black colleges. It was real. That's why I'm in doing what I'm doing now because of that. But I appreciate you, brother, and it's always good to see you here.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister Jen J, welcome, welcome, Sister Jen J.
Love to the house. Love to the
Jim
house.
J, Jim
Yes. I'm so pleased to be here amongst you kings.
J.
What a privilege and a pleasure. So give thanks.
Thanks and praise. So, Sister Jen J,
Yes, beloved.
do you want to speak about Neely Fuller Jr.?
I'm not familiar.
Okay. Well, we will definitely get you familiar. That'll be my project.
Okay.
All right.
I am familiar with Francis Quest Welsing, though, which I learned back at my Long Beach State days. Yes.
Well, good. So, Professor Rod, you wanted to say something?
Again, Dr. Francis Crest Welsing, Neely Fuller took it to another level when he began to study it and try to come up with solutions to it that you could do to counter the racism and become familiar with. Like I said, most people react to racism. He's one of the brothers that studied it and tried to come up with analysis that people could incorporate in their lives to help them navigate their way through all the aspects of racism that him and Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. And Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she did some study, and it wasn't until she came out with the Cress Theory book, which was a collaboration of all her lectures. But Neely came up with codes that you could implement and practice to fend off and become more able to cope and deal with racism and have a better understanding of it, because it changes forms, it evolves. It's more scientific and technological. Now it's cyberspace, and it's complex, because most people walking around don't think about racism. Neely Fuller sort of suggested that you got to think about that all the time in every aspect of life, and that's very critical. I can't emphasize it more. And even him and Mr. Bobby on the radios and on their podcast would like being professors of it, as far as exposing it and teaching about it. And that's very critical, because what happened is many of the educators are miseducating our people by not incorporating the studies, the research, the bibliographies, and books on racism, so that kids, young people could understand, have a better understanding of it, and even take up the research. Some people deal with it as thesis and various forms of dissertations and things of this nature. But as I said, Neely Fuller took it to another level. And, like I said, he had to do more than 50 years of studying and discussing it.
Yeah, that's true, Professor Ron. Also, he was constantly working on things. So I'm pretty sure we'll probably be seeing some more works of Neely Fuller as time moves forward. So I want to go back to Brother Muko. Brother Muko? Can you unmute?
Yeah, I'm
I
here.
had a question for you, Brother Muko.
Yeah.
Now, when we were discussing putting this show together, we wanted to actually honor his wishes too.
Right.
And he always talked about personalities. So I want you to speak on that a little bit when we were talking, we were talking about it, and then we want to make sure we didn't want to go against his wishes. But can you talk about that?
Definitely, definitely. Neely Fuller was definitely always reminding us, the fellow victims of racism, white supremacy, to always stand by your work and understand that it is about replacing the system of racism, white supremacy, with a system of justice. It ain't about showing off about how much information you have been given by the white supremacists, nor is it for you to victims
of white supremacy to be arguing with each other. And because when victims are arguing with each other, they're not countering racism, white supremacy at all. So Neely Fuller Jr. was always about taking himself out of so-called spotlight or limelight. He was always about it's not about him, because he's not that, you know, he has failed at the job of dismantling racism, white supremacy. And that's not according to Brother Mukko or Brother Rafiki. That's according to the evidence. And the evidence of what, Brother Mukko? The system of racism, white supremacy still being in control of all nine areas of people activity. So Neely Fuller Jr. was definitely big about the no egos and the no look, it's no superstar in this, because nobody has countered racism, white supremacy, because it's still here. And I think a lot of people used to, oh, not I'm not even gonna say I think. I see a lot of people, even when he was here with us, and now that he's transcended, misconstruing what he said, you know. So, you know, Mr. Neely Fuller has said this out in his own mouth, his own words. It's not about Neely Fuller Jr. It's about the evidence, and it's about the truth. You know, we all seekers of the truth. So Neely Fuller Jr. was big on that. A lot of people would, even when I mean, I know Brother Rafiki has witnessed, even and others have witnessed, when we are on the line listening to him, he'll say something to that effect, or those exact words, and someone or whoever he was, you know, trying to convey the message to, he was always keen on about staying clear, being crystal clear about what he says, so that it cannot be misconstrued. And you would be surprised how many people would even ask him questions, and he would say the answers more than once, very slow, and they still would misconstrue what he said right on the phone with him. And so Neely Fuller Jr. was definitely big on no egos. You know what I'm saying? As far as what another victim said, and when you're talking about another victim, such as a fellow victim of racism like Neely Fuller Jr., he said what he said. So he put that VGQ in place, the victim's guaranteed qualification. And what that is that all victims have a guaranteed qualification to say or feel any kind of way, or say whatever they want to say about their victimization. And this is in place so that no victims will be arguing with each other. Everybody has VGQ, a victim's guaranteed qualification. And it's simply just to say, look, I'm a victim of racism, white supremacy, and just like you, and however you feel or voice your victimization, I'm not to agree or disagree with it. And I thought that that was very, very brilliant. And the evidence that I've seen in the last 15 years of practicing the suggestion that was made by Neely Fuller Jr., it works, and nothing else works like it, you know. So, you know, he was always harping on words being very important, us using the proper language when we're addressing or identifying ourselves. And the one thing that Neely Fuller Jr. always talked about, and you can even listen to it in his lectures, I would suggest people listen to the broadcast of the cows. You can go on Apple Podcasts or any of those podcasts, and just punch up the acronym C.O.W.S. And Neely Fuller, he Gus T, the host of that program, broadcast, interviewed Neely Fuller Jr. over, I guess, 35, 45 times. Francis Cresswell's in as well. So that everybody can get a clear depiction of what he's saying. And look, get Brother Muko, usually I say, I get a little harsh when I say that. I always say F Brother Muko. It ain't about Brother Muko. It's about the evidence. And you definitely have to read the code book, because along with the code book comes a word guide. And the word guide is very important, because language, the language of racism, white supremacy, is very important. The language, English language, alone is very confusing on purpose. You know, when bad can mean bad, but also good, and also in between, and bad begins to mean nothing. And this is something that Neely Fuller Jr. always harped on. And I say, according to the evidence, y'all can listen to the past broadcasts, it would trigger a lot of victims of racism, white supremacy. And one of the things he was always talking about was us not lying and telling the truth. We have a habit of lying, and that's because of white supremacy itself. But go ahead, Rashidi.
All right, thanks for that. And one thing to add, he has the book is focused on counter-racist codes, and that code being that something that works all the time. So if you look at the website, my title on the website is Code Advocate. So I advocate we develop codes and follow codes because it works all the time. And definitely counter racist codes. So I just wanted to add that. So this is what I'm gonna do, everybody.
And Brother Rashiki Ho, can I add something else
Oh, yeah.
for the recording? Something that I think always gets looked over, and because it gets this point gets looked over a lot, it a lot of arguments happen. This code book is designed for these codes to be tried on white people. Okay, I want to stress that. These counter-racist codes aren't for victims to practice on other victims of racism, white supremacy. See, that's another thing that a lot of people tend to glaze over, especially when we listened to the program, when he had the counter-racist show on. A lot of people didn't understand, really, didn't have a firm understanding that these counter-racist codes are for victims of racism, white supremacy, to practice on white people, white supremacists, and suspected and admitted white supremacists. Okay? And Brother Rashiki said it the best. Yeah, and it's supposed to work every time. If it doesn't work every time, this is how you gauge it to improve the code. You know, so I just definitely wanted to add that, because I seem to always forget to say it, even on my broadcasts.
Excellent point, Brother Muko. Excellent point. Okay, so what I'm gonna do, everyone, I'm gonna go around the panel one more time. We'll take a comment, or if you have a question for Brother Muko, you can ask him a question. Brother Iration.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Damien, did you want to ask a question of any of? And Professor Ra also knows a lot about Neely Fuller, so you can address your question to anyone, really. Brother Damien?
Yes, I think as you guys were talking, my question, and it's probably to anybody. I think someone mentioned HBCU. You mentioned Long Beach State. Yeah, Long Beach State. My question is, Let's say for African Americans who don't go to college, how can they learn what you've learned or what you guys have learned outside of that space of a college university where it's being taught? Because they're not teaching it really in high school. Where else could they find it in a space where they can actually learn it? That would be my question.
Who want to tackle that? Professor Rob, Brother Muko, Hembrick, Machinda.
I will, because what I've learned, and I have a master's degree. I didn't learn none of it at no college. I learned it in the library, and I learned it from Essawan Bookstore. But what I would say to the people who are not going to college, they all on YouTube listening to all of the raps and all of that. A lot of this information is on there from different people, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Jay Rogers, George G. Jackson, they all, and Neely Fuller, Francis Quest Wellesley, they're all on YouTube. They can watch that and learn it there.
Can I make a suggestion in that? And thanks for that, brother. I would say, because I have not been to college, or school about, to learn any of the counter-racist, logical thinking that I've learned to do, using my words correctly and asking questions when other people use the words. My suggestion to you, brother, would be go to producejustice.com, get the independent, United Independent Compensatory Code Concept textbook and word guide, and let that be, I mean, in Francis Cress Welsing's work, the ISIS Papers, okay, these works go hand in hand. And I also want to mention Neely Fuller never read Francis Cress Welsing's work. Okay. So that's even the most, I mean, the truth does not need any validation. I feel like that is one of the most unique things about this whole him being her mentor and her confronting the colors, the color confrontation of the Crest theory, and how she breaks her theory down as far as the color confrontation goes, and how Neely Fuller Jr., just like Amon-Ra said, broke down the codes, and how broke and suggest and gave many suggestions on how to counter it. And he always said, look, if what I'm saying or what I suggest doesn't work for you, then you try to enhance or make a suggestion or do something different that may produce the most constructive result. Always it's and it's real simple. The way he explained it is the same way that I'll explain it. Solving problems is only produced by questions and answers. You ask a question, and then the most important part of the sequence is you be quiet and you get the answer. Don't help with the answer. It's always what he said. And not helping with the answer is not interrupting a person when you ask a question and they're answering it, so that you can get a full or better understanding. Because if you're asking the question, obviously you don't know the answer to the question you're asking. A lot of victims of racism, white supremacy, because of the way that white supremacist system indoctrinate and controls all nine areas of people activity, we interrupt or we help with the answers. And most of the time, when you're helping with the answers and you're asking a question and you don't really know the answer, the result of that is not finding out the answer. So Neely Fuller Jr. was definitely heavy on that. I think the first step that should be taken for a person that wants to know or want to be, have a clear understanding of what racism, white supremacy is. And I'll even give what I think is the most or the best compensatory meaning for racism, white supremacy. And it is, as stated, it is a system of individuals who, I mean, of people who classify themselves as white, and they are dedicated to mistreating and subjugating people in the known universe that they classify as non-white in every area of people activity. And I ask white people, is this, do they agree with this meaning? And does a system like this exist? And I shut up and I wait for them to give me an answer. This is a counter-racist assessment. I don't feel like you can get a proper assessment of admitted or suspected white supremacists without asking white people these questions. It's not really complicated, the code book. This is why I say, and I tell everybody, you know, getting the code book and reading it, it's not a read from cover to cover type of read. It's the type of read that you can just get this book for the first time and open it up to any page. Any page. Just like Brother Rashiki is just strolling through the Produce Justice website right now, is the same way that you treat the actual physical book when you have it. I mean, it's talking about all nine areas of people activity, which is all the areas that people, no matter what culture you're practicing or what ethnicity or whatever, all the areas that we participate in, he gets detailed about the words that we should use, and not only the words that we should use, but the meanings of what these systems are. Like, for instance, religion. You know, a lot of people, when you say, well, what's the meaning of religion? You get a whole bunch of mixed up meanings and confusionary meanings. And at the end of reading the definitions, you don't have a complete firm understanding of the meaning of the word. So Neely Fuller Jr. would always say that, look, that is an incomplete meaning. Meaning it's not a meaning. According to the evidence, not Neely Fuller, according to the evidence. And the evidence what? That you're still confused after you read the meaning and it didn't make sense. So it's all about making up for what's missing. And that's what the compensatory code concept is about. It's about compensating, you know. The system of white supremacy will tell you a 10-part story and tell you the truth about 8 parts of it, but the 2 most important parts they'll lie about. Well, guess what? In the system of racism, white supremacy, when a white person does that to a non-white person, that is an act of racism, white supremacy, an act of racism. And racism, white supremacy, they're synonymous. It's the same thing. A lot of people get confused, and this is why Neely Fuller even puts in the beginning of his work, and Francis Cresswell's, and if I'm not mistaken, has this in the ISIS papers. If you don't know what racism, white supremacy is and how it works, everything that you know will only confuse you. So you will be confused even about a thing called religion, which is simply a strong belief backed up by a lot of action. Now, that's not because Brother Muko said it or Neely Fuller said it. No, it's because that's what it is. It's the truth. According to the evidence. When I go into a church, a mosque, a synagogue, it's a bunch of people, you know what I'm saying? Doing a lot of action. And it's a belief backed up by a lot of action, something that they don't know, and they're doing a lot of actions to try to find out what they don't know. You know? So That's where the belief comes in. So, you know, just like Amara said, you know, we had all these great teachers that were breaking down different aspects of it. And just like Dr. Ben never read Neely Fuller's work. You know what I'm saying? They weren't sitting at a table constructing all of this. And this is the brilliance of it, because when you actually read their work now, it goes hand in hand. So my short answer to that, I'm sorry I made it long and drawn out, but producejustice.com. Go to producejustice.com, get the book, and just read it. But you should have the word guide as well, y'all. The word guide is very important. And it's not something like it's complete. It's not like a dictionary. It's almost like a dictionary, but in this word guide, he suggests words that victims of racism, white supremacy should use, but more importantly, words that we should not use. And when other people use these words, other victims of racism, white supremacy, or white people, white supremacists, ask questions. What do you mean when you're using this word? What is your meaning? Do you know half of these white people walk around here and they're in a system of white supremacy, and half of them will purposely tell you, won't tell you their meaning of white supremacy, racism, white supremacy. And that's on purpose to what? Continue the creation of confusion. You know, they'll even tell you, you know, we do a thing on the cows. I'm in a book club called the Catherine Massey Book Club. Some of the listeners may be privy to this. We always ask white authors and black and non-white people as well, some non-white people, who do you think is more informed about the system of racism and how it works? Do you know that 97 to 98% of the white authors that write books about racism, white supremacy, will tell you, oh, non-white people are more informed. Now, if that ain't a goddaggone lie, deliberately in your face, but if you don't know what racism, white supremacy is and how it works, you won't even understand that they just practice racism on you. See, so a lot of us walk around here, even still, quote unquote, and I got air quotation fingers up, educated, when educated means a thing of the past. It's nobody educated. We're all still learning. And they can't even give you a clear definition of racism, white supremacy, where after they finish telling you their meaning of it, you are crystal clear what they mean when they use the word. And this is white supremacy, racism, white supremacist system working perfectly. When you have a bunch of confused victims, not even knowing it, not even, you know what? They're out in the street shouting, "We're not victims." That is why a system of racism, white supremacy working perfectly. And that is what we have today. You know what I'm saying? We have a bunch of victims of racism, white supremacy,
There you go.
not even identifying as victims.
I'm trying to watch you.
So,
Okay.
Professor Ra, I know you wanted to say something, but I was going to let you end out, or do you want to do it now?
All right. I just wanted to say that I wanted to get back. First of all, I appreciate what everybody had said, if I understand correctly, and everybody made some excellent points. But Damien's question was, how do we educate people who don't go to college and run into classes like Black Studies or BSUs and things of this nature? And it starts at home. The primary educational structure is at home, your home, your family. But they got to become students, and you have to know why you study it, so you know how to tell it to people without making them feel like they're a victim and making them feel have more of a victorious attitude. Develop strategies to deal with racism And we say households now instead of families because of the different structures of families and households that has evolved. You know, it's not the power nuclear family, the mama and daddy anymore. And they're younger and they just haven't, some even haven't finished school and having kids and things of this nature. And we've always had that issue. But the other thing is that throughout history, we've talked in codes about racism. Parents used to say you got to be 10 times smarter than a white person in order to make it. One thing that, yeah, you get that education, they can't take that brain, they can't take that from you. They would talk in forms of code. Don't look a white person in the eye. All those type of things. Booker T. Washington, pull yourself up by your bootstrap. Self-determination and things. They talked in codes because it was in a society that during that time that if you spoke directly, you can be killed, or your house could get burned down, and your children. So they taught it in a way in which some parents did, and some people did, and some school teachers did. About they call them tubob or crackers or different racial connotations of white people hatred. And see, what Damien wanted to know is I got kids. Well, first of all, if you have groups of programs that working with young people, you could talk about it in a way in which you're educating them about racism, and it's all about loving yourself, respecting yourself, and pursuing excellence to get around barriers and things of this nature. And it's very difficult because you have so many black people that don't do that, like the Obamas and even a lot of the civil rights workers. You know, they want to talk about integration as a solution, and others want to talk about isolation as a a solution. And some want to treat Black history as Black heritage rather than Black history. And so you have to almost become a very conscious parent or guardian of young people that realize that they need to learn this. Most parents don't think we need to learn it. You know, you think that you can just be excellent, you can get by. And and they live in, predominantly black people, that areas. And so they don't even come in contact with white folks, many of them. So, but anyway, it's about education and it's about being skillful enough. That's why reading stuff by Nita Fuller, Frances Crest Wilson, to get the content and the concept. But how do you speak to young people about racism without them being offended about their parents, if you're not their parents, about their parents, I don't want my kids to learn that. You understand? They're Americans, and that's it. You understand? I mean, you'd be surprised at the opposition that you run into with other African people in America that would say that they don't even want their kids to think about it. Because it'll get them killed or things of this nature. But, it's not easy. And this is why public school teachers, youth groups should all find ways to discuss racism in a way in which young people could understand it and take it not as an offense or not demonizing or making them hate anybody, but just how to get, as Neely them said, understand the code so that you can get around it and be aware of it. And my final point is, a lot of people don't even think racism is bothering them. You understand? They don't get the job. They think, oh, I just didn't get it. That, and they don't. they didn't get the apartment. They just thought that, well, maybe the person was just, I didn't have enough money or whatever, or my credit wasn't high enough or whatever. And, I mean, how many people talk about redlining? How many talk about jury notification? How many people talk about the laws and the history of laws that this system had, Dred Scott and all of them? How many even talking about separate but equal? How many parents are familiar with it? You know, not just as a book learning, but as one in which they realize they have to teach their kids about it. That's my point. When you learn from somebody that you love, you take it more seriously.
All right. Thanks, Professor Rye. All right. Brother Ahi. You there? Any further say? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm still here. I just want to say to Brother Damien also, you know, I was fortunate enough to, in our community, we had the Shrine of Black Madonna. We had the Muslim temple, but you got to go where the people are. If you want that human touch and you want to be able to interact with other people where that knowledge is flowing, and there's something around you, there's a bookstore, maybe there's a community center, which I know are rare these days. Everybody on the internet, all the rest of that. But I'm pretty sure there's something around you where people gather, where that type of information flows, where you can get that personal, human to human, it don't have to be on the internet touch. And that's what really helped me, along with being around people like it on the campus where I was on the campus. And see, that's another thing too. You can go on the campus, they get tax dollars and you a taxpayer. And there's information there and you can intermingle or go and look on the bulletin boards and stuff like that. Hopefully you're around a campus where there are some conscious people that got something going on. That's what I got to say. All right. Good luck with that, brother.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Brother Ahi.
Yes, sir.
That reminds me, Brother Damien, are you able to take them on excursions, field trips in your program?
No, we don't have the finances to do that, but I know I'm working with the school that I'm working with. I can make suggestions, okay. And then the schools, if they get approved, can take them.
And then also, I know that you could. I know you come in and you deal with the students. I had the experience with you coming in my class and dealing with students. You also could bring in tidbits of information to start planting that seed, you know, and I know you talk about different subjects, but yeah, there's a small way of just introducing some concepts, and it could be geared around having the discussion about those concepts. But yeah, the real work is done by the soldiers that just has to, the concept we got, each one teach one. So by you exposing students to information that's constructive, like Brother Neela Fuller Jr., it would be, you know, just bringing in small tidbits of information, and some kid will be sparked by the information and pursue it. So that's one of my suggestions too. But I don't know if he was asking specifically for direct suggestions, but that's what I would suggest. So let me move on because we are running out of time, folks. Let me go to Brother Hembrick.
Yes, sir.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, the reason I made that comment about the YouTube before, because, you know, a lot of our people have serious reading issues. I just want to say that. But let me say this, or ask this question. I believe this is from Neely Fuller's Codes. And Damon, you can use this with your students, especially in today's life. I believe his code was, when you're dealing with the police, about the F's. Don't fuss, don't fight, and don't flee. And you might live through the situation. And that's it on me. I believe that's from Neely Fuller, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. The three F's: don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee, because you have a greater chance of surviving the incident versus not. You know, it's just more probable to do something like that, and it's a code that can be used, and it, I ain't gonna say it's gonna guarantee that you walk away from the situation, but whenever I was gonna say something,
he also said, and do what they ask you to do.
That, yeah, true, true. So, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and move on. All right, Brother Mashinda.
Yeah, you know, listening to the brothers, everybody that just spoke, you know, I'm in agreement. You know, everybody's making great points. You know, I just want to say, you know, Brother Neely Fuller, you know, he wasn't a Harvard graduate or anything like that. You know, this guy spent time in the Army and then also the Air Force and you know, became a critical thinker based on his own life experiences, you know, and I think that's what this is all about, is being a critical thinker and trying to think your way through this life. So my point is, you know, you know, like for Brother McCalman, who's well-versed, you know, I've heard Brother McCalman speak a few times on our podcast, and, you know, he's putting in work, and so I'm not here to, you know, well, basically I was saying that, you know, he asked the question about people that's not going to college or whatever. And I heard one of the brothers, in a particular brother, Hembrick, especially, he said that, you know, things that we learn in college, yeah, a lot of this information is not coming from the college. It's not it's based on your own experience and what you are dealing with. I think Neely Fuller is asking to, hey, you know, look at your everyday life and look at these principles and codes that I'm talking about, and you can see, you know, what's, you know, how to apply what he was talking about. So they don't even have to go to college per se. You know, they can lean on, you know, with, of course, with guidance, you know, and understanding. When you're dealing with youth, they may not, you know, think on another level as far as, you know, white supremacy and those types of issues. But at the end of the day, you know, he was very practical and commonsensical, and therefore, you know, it's based on their everyday experience and the person that's guiding them. You know, like, why is this happening? Why is this not happening? You know, it you know, so, you know, for the whole month of February, Professor Rye's been putting on Tuesday nights, the history of the Black history and the Black Studies program and the Black Student Union at Long Beach State. And what I got out of it is kind of like the people that join in on those podcasts this month that has joined in, some of the former students, they're very excited in sharing their information and their experiences, you know, how the information uplifted their lives, you know, and they become who they are. They became who they are, you know, some of them on different levels, financially or, you know, you know, have their own businesses or whatever. They're still speaking positive about life, you know, of their existence, and they credit their experience. And so it's all about tapping in to that experience and understanding. So Brother Rasaki made a good point in terms of, you know, getting the young brothers and sisters that, you know, you deal with, Brother McCalman, on a regular basis, you know, taking them, you know, field trips or exposing them. But again, it doesn't even have to be a field trip. It can be exposing them to, you know, Neely Fuller or, you know, breaking, you know, like ABCs, giving them some basics and making them understand like the world we're living in. And you know, some people may feel like, you know, have a different school of thought, you know, whoever they are, in terms of You know, we're not making people out of victims. It's making them understand this system that we live in. And how do we survive this system? How do we synergistically help each other? And you know, because, you know, we're not in a post-racial society. That's asinine. They're doing a full court press right now in terms of trying to, you know, continuing to dismantle, you know, progress and things like that, that we need to survive in this place that we live in. We're going to make it, a lot of us are going to make it regardless, because that's just how we feel. However, but to dealing with the youth, they have to be exposed to a lot of these scholars and different people. And they can start with different readings, different books, of course, field trips or whatever. But again, Neely Fuller wasn't some, you know, from academia in terms of, you know, some big, you know, scholar from Harvard or whatever. He was just a guy. He seemed to me, he used his life experiences to expose people to his critical thinking. And I'd like to say, you know, I've been around a while, that, man, he makes a lot of sense. So I think that it's a lot of free information. I think Brother Hembrick talked about YouTube and things like that and so forth. You know, so I just wanted to give my little input on that in terms of I'm in agreement with that. And but it's imperative that we expose the youth. I work at a community college. I have daily conversations about a lot of things that we're talking about now. You guys give me information. Some things I already know, and it ain't about what I know. You who did it, who started it. If you're giving me some nuggets, I'm passing it on, because I have the ability to decipher what's real and what's not in my own right, and I pass it on. So it's just all about being active and being intentional in how we pass on information. And I think real recognizes real. Everybody, even the kids, have the ability to recognize truth. You know, it just depends on how it's presented to them. And if they believe in the person or entity that's delivering that information. So I think you, Brother McCallman, you have their ear, you know, because you have that passion. And so I think that it's important. You know, people say, oh, don't be talking about that black stuff, that revolutionary stuff. It ain't no stuff. This is real information, and it's real time things that are going on. You know, it's nobody trying to be, you know, anti this and anti that. We all trying to present love to each other, but we have some negative forces out there that are really trying to counter our productivity. And, you know, so we can't give up the struggle.
Sister Jen Jay?
Bless. I'm going to, I'm looking forward to doing a little research on Brother Neely. What's the name again?
Neely Fuller Jr.
Neely Fuller Jr. Very.
Let me show you. I can show you his. You can go to producejustice.com, and this is the website, and that's right there. It's Neely Fuller Jr.
Excellent.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to familiarizing myself with his theory of the codes and of language. You know, language, Spanish was my first language, so I my brain is really in tune to different languages and tuning in, and moving with the Jamaican community, in particular the Rastafarians, they have a saying, word sound is power. And in our community of word sound is power, we manipulate words quite often to suggest a feeling, to suggest clarification. I will give you an example. We do not like to say the words understand. We feel we've been under pressure too long. So when we speak to each other and we are trying to make clarifications, you may hear us say, I overstand. I'm over, not under. So when I hear that this gentleman has a way of particularly using language and understanding language, it intrigues me. Because as I said, we Jamaicans have a way of making up words that get right to the point and manipulating the language so that we overstand that word sound is power. So I'm feeling a real interest in Brother Fuller. Philosophy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You should enjoy him for sure. Okay. Thanks a lot, Sister Jinjay. Omari, Brother Omari.
Yeah, well, first, let me thank you for sharing this website, Produce Justice. I pulled it up and it's loaded with information. And I guess if I have anything to say I would direct it to Damien. As I scrolled through this website, I had mentioned earlier that there were some animation cartoons about some of Dr. Neely's Fuller's speeches. They're on this website, and I think when you're trying to inform children, you have to meet them where they are. We grew up in an era where I still have a library card. I heard Joe mention he went to the library to learn about a lot of things that weren't taught in school, because that's where we went to get information. Now we live in a world where people go to Google, YouTube, and other online sources. So if we meet these kids where they are, maybe you could send kids every now and then, send them a link to one of these cartoons where they can look at the cartoons, listen to the cartoons, and that might be something that will capture their attention to open the door to expose them to maybe going to the library or having an urge to go find more information. But a lot of that stuff, I know a lot of those images, those cartoons were posted on social media over the years, and I was exposed to a lot of them that way. So maybe that's a good way to reach our youth and expose them to this information. We grew up in a time where we had teachers at our high school and junior high school that came from black colleges or from the South, and they were more in tune to turning us on to information that wasn't necessarily part of the curriculum that we experienced while going to school. And now, I don't know, I'm not in the school space now, but a lot of these kids have been involved with technology and the use of technology tools to a much greater extent than we were. So that could be a good way to expose them to some of the truths and some of the people who will educate them to the messages of a Dr. Neely Fuller.
All right, I just showed some of the cartoons, the animation of some of the work of Neely Fuller. All right, I think that's everybody. So we're gonna close out with you, Brother Muko.
Well, I will say thank everybody for your memories and your personal experiences, and being honest. Neely Fuller Jr., his work, his monumental, a century of staying on code, being very, very precise with your words, his words, standing by his work. Again, I think we all should just take a lesson from these actions and continue to upgrade our own our own individual, you know, that word again, independent, you know, our own individual thought, speech, and action to have a better understanding. My children, I have a 2-year-old, 6-year-old. I've been talking to them about racism, white supremacy as soon as they can make sound. I constantly repeat what the meaning of justice is in a way that they can understand it. And less than, and I'm talking about making it simple. The only way that we are going to solve this problem is first by being honest and understanding that it is a problem. And then proceed with the questions and answers and you know, solve the problem without creating another problem in the process. That's a hard thing to do as a problem solver. A lot of people would try to make it complicated and say, so we'll solve what problems, Brother Mukko? We got so many. Okay, solve the ones, start with the ones that's right in front of you. That's what Neely Fuller always used to say. I'm gonna miss this guy. I miss him now. But I hope that we, as a collective, start to just constantly upgrade our thought, speech, and action, and just be honest. You know, the sister said something that was powerful. Yeah, your words are powerful, but only if you tell the truth, knowingly and unknowingly. Knowing the truth and believing two different things. When you have all the intelligences that you made it through the birth canal with, and you know, you have all these intelligences, your hands, your fingers, your eyes, and you know, things to find out answers. Yeah, words are power. But only if you're telling the truth. If you're not telling the truth, your words remain weak. And that's not according to Brother Mukko. That's just according to the evidence. So, yeah, I just want to thank everybody for even showing up and giving your testimonies on Neely Fuller Jr. And honoring his work. And, yeah, stand by your work.
Appreciate you, Brother Mukko. Professor Ra, do you have any last comments?
We'll try to get Omari Bakari to come on this Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So Omari, you just been outed. So.
I'm in. I'm with it.
Okay, so that's the guest for next week. Okay, the guest for the CEN show on Wednesday next week, we got Dr. Charles Alexander, another one of our partners in consciousness and Each One Teach One, the Community Education Network, all of that. So his topic is going to be Akoben. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, or Akoben, a call to action. So that's the topic for next week, Dr. Charles Alexander. Appreciate everyone for showing up this evening to honor Neely Fuller Jr. Appreciate everyone, and let's keep doing this. We're going to take our pause.
Okay.